where we are reading from Canto 11, Chapter 26, the Ayla Gita, text number 18. Kvayam mali mashakayo Daurgandhyadi atmako suchi Kva gunaha saumanasyadya Hi adhyaso avidyaya kritaha Kvayam Kva? Where? Ayam? This Malimasa? Very filthy. Kayaha? Material body. Daurgandhya? Bad odor. Adi? And so on. Atmakaha? Consisting of. Asuchi? Unclean. Kva? Where? Gunaha? The so-called good qualities. Saumanasya? The fragrance and tenderness of flowers. Adyaha? And so on. He? Certainly. Adhyasaha? The superficial imposition. Avidyaya? By ignorance. Kritaha? Created. Translation by the servants of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. What is this polluted body anyway? So filthy and full of bad odors. I was attracted by the fragrance and beauty of a woman's body. But what are those so-called attractive features? They are simply a false covering created by illusion. Translation responsively. What is this polluted body anyway? So filthy and full of bad odors. I was attracted by the fragrance and beauty of a woman's body. But what are those so-called attractive features? They are simply a false covering created by illusion. Purport. Pururava now understands that although he was madly attracted to the fragrant, shapely body of Urvasi, in fact that body was a sack of stool, gas, bile, mucus, hairs and other repugnant elements. In other words, Pururava is now becoming sane. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshun Muntamiyana Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So in this verse, all the mysteries of the material beauty are revealed. All the mystery of this body we have wearing is revealed. So in this chapter, Krishna is actually enlightening us about the nature of this material world, and more specifically about the nature of this material body and how it's not worth becoming attached to it. One should become attached to Krishna, and that can be done through the association of saintly devotees. So Urvasi had previously tried to enlighten King Pururava. She gave him wise counsel. But at that point of time, he was not able to act on it because out of attachment. Well, out of this intense attachment, he could not take the instructions to heart. Just like we see, even King Dhritarashtra, he was very much attached to his son Duryodhan. Out of all the 100 sons, he was most attached to Duryodhan. And when Duryodhan took birth, the asses were braying and there were all kinds of inauspicious symptoms. And all the saintly people, including Vidura, and they told him, you should get rid of Duryodhan, basically. You should, otherwise he'll be the cause of ruination of your entire dynasty. But out of this intense attachment for his son, no matter, he got all the best counsel from Krishna, from Bhishma, from Vidur and so many other people, but still he was not able to act on it. So we can see attachment actually is very, very powerful. It's not very easy to overcome. And the thankless task of Maya is to frustrate our very attachments, frustrate our plans for material enjoyment, so that when the right time comes, we can actually take to heart the instructions we are getting. Of course, most people unfortunately don't even know what the right thing is, so they can't even act on it. But for devotees, we can see sometimes we get the best of advice, but we can't act on it. But then Krishna, through the illusory energy, has to make some special arrangements to smash our attachments, and then we can actually take it to heart. Just like we cannot, in order to grow vegetables, first we have to plow the field. Without plowing the field, you cannot plant something. So Krishna first sometimes plows a heart like that, makes it ready the right time, and then, whatever we have read, we have heard, then it actually comes to heart and sinks. So even sometimes when we are taking guidance from the spiritual master, we are actually attached to our own ideas. We want to get them rubber stamped. So like when we approach a spiritual master, we present the situation, and we also present the solution. So we present the problem and the solution, and we just want an okay. We just want the rubber stamp. Yes, you can go ahead, you can do this and that. But the best way to approach a spiritual master is to present all the different options and then leave it up to the guru to tell us what is actually best for us, and then to act on it. But many times we can see when we go to our spiritual master, we are actually, holding on to our own ideas. And then most of the time the spiritual master has to say, okay, you go ahead, you want to do this, that's fine, you do like that. So here we can see King Pururava. Before, he had accepted his mind and the senses as his ultimate authority in life. And now he's actually coming to his senses. Now he's becoming sane. In other words, by saintly guidance, he's coming to his senses. But before, his ultimate authority was his own mind and senses. We actually go to so many programs and we go around telling everyone, there's three ways of acquiring knowledge. There is Shabda, Anuman and Pratyaksha. Thank you. So Pratyaksha Brahman is knowledge acquired through the senses. Now we know the senses are defective by nature. They're not perfect. And then there is Anuman Praman, knowledge gained by inference, induction, like that. And then the Shabda Praman, approaching from a higher authority. But what we see actually, are we really applying this in our own life? Or we are just going around everywhere and telling people, this is how we get knowledge, by the three ways of getting knowledge. But are we actually applying this Shabda principle in our life? So what is Pratyaksha Praman? And we see that before we came into Krishna consciousness, we were living a life according to Pratyaksha Praman. Or everyone lives like that. So in other words, they accept their senses as the ultimate authority. So, I feel good right now. I feel if I eat this, that's good for me. If I do this, if I touch that, if I smell this, if I look at that. And we should learn from our own experience. We don't need to hear any dogma. We don't need to hear Bhagavad Gita. We don't need to hear from Krishna or the Hare Krishnas. We just need to learn about life from our own experience. In other words, they're saying that our senses are the ultimate authority, and whatever the senses say is correct. Senses and the mind. So this is the false humility people have, due to which they are unable to approach spiritual life, because of this arrogant, puffed up attitude. Everyone is thinking, my senses are perfect, so therefore I'm a perfect person, and who are you to tell me how to live my life? So, and Bhagavad Gita is just a dogma anyway. This is a set of beliefs. So it is this pride which is hampering people from, taking up Krishna consciousness. So this arrogant attitude. And unless they accept that when the senses come in contact with the sense objects, the result is actually misery. When the sense, as Krishna says in the fifth chapter, when the senses come in contact with the sense objects, it's just misery. But But they are actually unable to see this. Though this is happening all the time, and they are getting frustrated again and again, but out of this out of this false pride and arrogance and lack of humility, they are unable to see this. So it actually takes some humility to come into Krishna consciousness. You know, we can see when we came first time, maybe when we came into Krishna consciousness, maybe in this life, we were a bit humble. We were humbled by material nature. Our plans for enjoyment, I can say for myself at least, my plans for enjoyment were fully smashed. So they smashed again and again, but this time, you know, some slight humility is there. And then we approach the temple or the shelter of devotees, and then in humility try to take some guidance. But after some time we can see, again we can get covered over. Even while practicing Krishna consciousness, again after some time we can make our senses our ultimate authority in life. So, you know, we can forget this due to familiarity, or we can forget that, you know, this principle, though we are teaching others, Shabda Praman, Prataksha Praman, Anuman Praman, but we can forget the principle of Shabda Praman. In other words, our Krishna consciousness has to be guided by Sadhu, Shastra and Guru. By the spiritual master, by the Shastra and by other saintly devotees. So we have to always try to keep ourselves under guidance. You know, whatever we are doing, whether it is small or big, we should try to take guidance from devotees, our peers, you know, senior devotees, our spiritual master. And we can see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in so many other places, how even the Supreme Lord takes guidance. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he consults with Swarup Damodar, his confidential associates, in taking guidance. And we can see even Krishna, he consulted with Uddhava so many times in taking guidance. You know, how should we do this? This is the situation. And then Uddhava suggests, oh, Krishna, though he himself knows everything, you know, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he also takes guidance, Krishna, to set an example. So, you know, what to speak of us. So we can see people are actually determined in the wrong way. You know, so people are very arrogant. They're saying, oh, we can figure out a life. But the problem is, they are determined in the wrong way. Have you ever been in a car which is going in the wrong way? Wrong side of the road? Like, this time with my godbrother, Thakur Sharanga Prabhu, I was in India, and he had to catch his flight in Calcutta, and as usual, he was running late. So, we were going full speed on the road, and he said, okay, told the driver, go quick, we're going to lose our flight, I'm going to miss my flight. And the driver went on the wrong way of the freeway, and there were signs, you know, wrong way, go back. And I was like, okay, if the cars are coming from here, there, and wasn't a very pleasant experience. And the driver is saying, don't worry, you know, everything will be alright. The driver was very, very confident. So people are confident like this, that they're very determined in the wrong way. So their determination is a good quality, but when it is applied in the wrong way, it is actually very, very dangerous. So we see people are, due to lack of humility, they are actually heading in the wrong way. So we have to similarly apply the same determination in the right way, going on the right way of the motorway. So, as described in this chapter, the most powerful allurement of Maya for man is woman, and for woman is man. So that's the most powerful bait, as was described in the previous verses, by which Maya entangles the living entity. So this whole relationship is very, very consuming, very, very absorbing, and as a result, the living entity becomes attached to wife, children, home, paraphernalia, so on and so forth. And in this way, forgets the purpose of life, and this very thing actually brings the living entity life after life again in the material world. So it is actually very, very difficult to go against the flow of material energy or the current of material energy. Like, you know, it's impossible to swim against the current of the river. If you go to the Ganges, and you can't swim back. even if you're in Mayapur, you can't swim against the current. The current is very strong. What to speak when you're up in the Himalayas and the river is at full force. So it's very, very difficult to go against the current of Maya. And today's civilization or society is not very conducive for self-realization, in case we haven't noticed. It is, you just walk out of this temple and it's like, you know, the three modes of nature, mainly the two modes, passion and ignorance, are just, you know, wave after wave, there is, you know, they're hitting us. So passion and ignorance is very strong in Kali Yuga. And the entire, and especially the cities are, so the city is the capital of Maya. So the, and countries is a little bit, countryside is a bit less. It's there, but city is even more powerful. So it's very, very difficult to go against the current of Maya. So, but why? Because Maya is actually Krishna's divine energy. As Krishna says, Daivi Esha Guna Mai Mama Maya Duratyaya. Daivi. So, Krishna has different energies. There's the internal, external, and marginal. So, all of these energies are actually divine. So even the material energy is divine because that connection is there with Krishna. Though it is separated, but because Krishna is the source of it, so it is divine. And we, the marginal energy, the jiva, is very minute. So the living energy can get either covered by the internal energy or the external energy. So Krishna says, Krishna himself says, the source of Maya, that this energy is very, very insurmountable. It is very, very difficult to overcome. So, you know, one cannot go against the tide of Maya because it's Krishna's divine energy. And as in this verse we can see, Maya is very expert in packaging. You know, marketing or sales is all about packaging. Like if you want to buy water, you know, the bottled water, it's all about packaging. I was actually reading, in many countries the laws are such that the water, if it is as pure as tap water, you know, then that can be passed as drinking water. In many countries, that's the law. So, you know, the water industry makes so much money out of, you know, this false propaganda. They try to erode the public confidence that this tap water is actually not good for your health. And then they sell their own water. So they sell their own water and they have a nice packaging, very, you know, attractive bottle with nice sticker on it, and then write a few things on that. Okay, some of that might be true, but still it's all about packaging. And here also we can see how Krishna is telling us about the nature of this body, man or a woman, you know, inside it is filled with abominable substances. So here it's mentioned, so filthy, full of bad odors, you know, pus, stool, mucus, bile. It's not very attractive. But the illusion is the skin. So Maya is very expert in packaging. So the skin is the packaging. So if you peel off the skin, so material beauty is only skin deep. So if you've been to hospital, sometimes you get cases where they get patients who are burnt, you know, somebody suffering from burns, third degree burns or second degree, then actually you can see, you know, their skin has come off. The skin is burnt, and then you can see inside. So one time I went to Alfred Hospital, went to see some devotee, and their hospital, they're very proud, you know, of their modern technology. So they showed how there was a case, there was an accident, car crash, and they retrieved this lady, you know, with the help of a helicopter. And then they showed her body, it was in such a mess, you couldn't make out what was what. And then they showed the different stages in the operating theater, and then she's going through therapy, she's recovering. Took few years, but then they were showing how she's having a normal life now. But actually, as we can see, what the body is really composed of, and it wasn't very attractive. So momentarily we get some detachment. But again, the influence of Maya is so strong, we get covered over again. The moment you walk out of the hospital, again, you see a beautiful woman or man, again our intelligence is covered over. So it's like if somebody tells us about a product, you know, if you go to buy a product and somebody tells you about the real nature of the product, will we buy it? Maybe no. It's like the Pandavas were somehow tricked to go in the house of Lak. But what if, you know, Duryodhan had told them about the real nature of that palace, that this palace is actually made out of Lak, of wax, and it will soon burn. So here Krishna is actually, in the Bhagavatam, the Vedic scriptures, are telling us about the nature of this material world. But the amazing thing is, we still get attracted by it. Though we know how miserable it is, what the nature of the body is, but still we get attracted. And everyone is simply concerned with the packaging. I think on Saturday one devotee took me to a car yard. He thought, saffron, you know, get his blessings to get a car. So I should take a, you know, saffron devotee, you know, get a nice car, get his blessings. So I had to go anyway, he forced me. So I went, and while he's looking at the different makes of the cars, and there was this lady came, and she saw a SUV, and there she was just looking at the, you know, outside of the car, such a nice, very detailed car. And then the salesmen were very happy, because she wasn't worried about what's in the car, what's the motor like, what's the transmission. And she wanted to sit inside the car, and he opened the door for her, and she sat inside. Oh, seat is very comfortable, like this nice paint. In this way, we can see everyone is enamored by the packaging of Maya, but they're not thinking what is inside. So then, actually, why are we attracted to matter, even after knowing the intricacies of matter? So this is because we are not aware of the absolute truth. In other words, we are not aware of the spirit and the supreme spirit. Therefore, we are attracted by this. Okay, as devotees, we know about it, but we are not fully convinced. So therefore, we are still attracted by matter. And for, you know, those who are not devotees, they don't know anything at all. So what hope do they have? So therefore they are attracted by this relative beauty. Because in the spiritual world, everything is absolute. And in the material world, everything is relative. So Krishna's beauty is absolute. Krishna's beauty is permanent. Krishna's beauty is not like ours, you know, goes through 6 transformations. In our youth, we are like a blossoming flower. And then after 30 years, 40, then it's all downhill. We can see our own body getting deteriorated by the force of time. But in the spiritual world, Krishna's beauty is permanent. And Krishna is full of 6 opulence. Krishna's beauty is such that Krishna is attracted by himself. And so we are pursuing untruth in the name of truth, because we have no idea of the truth. So therefore, when Krishna exhibits his pastimes in the material world, in relationship with the living entities, and these pastimes are also transcendental in nature, but because people have no idea of what transcendental is, they mistake these very pastimes to be material, and then therefore they think these pastimes are also material. In this instance, there's this, you've all heard of this story, the liquid beauty. I'll still repeat it. So there was this man, you know, very powerful and handsome man, and he was very puffed up with his beauty. And then he saw this beautiful woman. She happened to be quite saintly also. And then he tried to approach her in many ways, and she didn't like that, and she said, okay, I'll show him the real nature of the material beauty. So she said, okay, we'll fix a date, you come after 1 week. And in the meanwhile, she was taking laxatives and purgatives. So she was throwing up and, you know, passing stool and urine like that. And she stored all of that in pots. And then she stored them in pots and put them in the room. And as a result of this austerity, she was very beautiful. Her complexion turned blackish, or she turned pale, and her eyes went inside. and she became very thin and lean like a skeleton. And then at the appointed time, this man came, and she met him, and he said, can I meet that beautiful lady? And she said, that's me. That's me, you know. He said, no, that can't be her, you know. That, you know, it can't be you. You're just making up stories. No, she said, it's me. And after a lot of, you know, arguing and convincing, he said, okay. She said, if you don't believe, I can show you my real beauty. And you can enjoy with that beauty. You can enjoy with that beauty. Because that's what he wanted. And then she took him to the room, and there was so much bad odor and stench coming. And then he actually, he realized, he came to his senses that this is not the real beauty. So actually that is our situation. We can laugh at that person, but every moment we are going through that ourselves, because we are not convinced about the real beauty of Krishna. So we need to develop a taste for Krishna's beauty. So we need to get attracted to Krishna's beauty. And we can see, like, Bhishma Dev, when at the time of his, when he was about to quit his body, he was actually meditating on Krishna's beauty. So, and Krishna was there, the Pandavas were there, and there he composes nice prayers. And there, let's read out, you know, about Krishna's beauty here, what he says. So he says, Shri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on this earth in his transcendental body, which resembles the bluish color of the tamal tree. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face, covered with the paintings of sandalwood pulp, be the object of my attraction, and may I not desire fruitive results. And further on he says, on the battlefield, the flowing hair of Lord Krishna turned ashen due to the dust raised by the hoofs of the horses, and because of his labor, beads of sweat wetted his face. All these decorations, intensified by the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows, were enjoyed by him. Let my mind thus go unto Shri Krishna. So in this way, and there's so many other prayers and verses which describe Krishna's beauty. And we see when Maharaj Parikshit was in the womb, and he was attacked by the Brahmastra, and then Krishna in his Vishnu form, he appeared in the womb to protect him, and he was the size of a thumb and circling around. And Maharaj Parikshit was very much attracted by this personality. At that time he didn't know who it was, and he was very, very much attracted by the beautiful form of Krishna in the form of Vishnu. And then he's called Parikshit because he's the examiner, and when he took birth, he was examining all living entities to see, you know, who matches the beauty, who's this Krishna. And he was not interested in anything material. So we need to develop a taste for Krishna's beauty, and that way we can give up the material beauty, which is relative. And Krishna is even beautiful even after being pierced by arrows. You can see Bhishma Dev, he was piercing Krishna with arrows, and still Krishna looked so beautiful. And Krishna didn't feel like these arrows were hurting him. These arrows were like somebody throwing flowers on him, because these arrows were shot out of love and devotion. So one can have a relationship with Krishna like that also, by shooting arrows. So of course we can't come to the temple and, you know, with a bow and arrow start shooting arrows at Radha Vallabha. No. So that is not our position. So we are in sadhana bhakti. Bhishma Dev is in your spontaneous devotional service. So we can't imitate that. So primarily we have to develop a taste for Krishna's beauty by hearing and chanting about Krishna. So that is the main way, Shravanam and Kirtanam. That's the main way of developing this taste for Krishna. So if we are lax in this process of hearing and chanting, then we are an easy victim for Maya. Gradually, it doesn't happen immediately, but as Kesha Prabhu was describing, you give Maya a crack, then it will come out big. So similarly, if we become slack in our hearing and chanting, then, you know, what to speak of developing a taste for Krishna's beauty. you know, we'll be weak in Krishna consciousness and we'll become more and more attracted by Maya, then it's just very easy for Maya to, you know, to slap us and cover us over. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada had a sandwich program, a morning program, here Bhagavatam. During the day, read 2 hours, you know, before going to bed, study, or in the evening, hear a lecture, like that. In this way, we have to always fix our intelligence on Krishna. Otherwise we are very easy victims of Maya. Because Maya is very powerful, and we cannot overcome Maya by our own efforts. You know, we cannot think, okay, I have so many abilities, you know, I'm from India, I'm a very pious person, I have a lot of piety behind me. So, you know, that won't help us overcome Maya. You know, okay, you know, I'm not so terrible, I'm very pious, but no, you know, Maya is very powerful. So, or I'm intellectually very strong, I have a good understanding of Shastra, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, Maya is too strong. We are insignificant, our own expertise, no. Or I have detachment in my chart, you know, so I've got my astrology done, detachment is very strong. No, you know, what is detachment in front of Maya? It's nothing. So Maya is like, you know, it's like, you know, the tsunami was coming, and those who come in the way of the tsunami, you know, they don't stand a chance. Like yesterday we were at the Melbourne Cup, and you know, what can we do against the against material nature? When it started raining, it was pouring, and everyone had, you know, the races, you know, they couldn't do anything. It started pouring. They just have to run for shelter. They can't stop. They can't say, okay, rain, stop, you know, we have Melbourne show going on. No, we can't do anything, and we all ran for shelter. So in this way we see they have the early warning tsunami, the tsunami warning systems, early warning detection systems. So when a tsunami comes, okay, they can just warn you, run. Or in Victoria they have this state emergency systems where in the event of when there's a fire, so they're making this very complicated system where they'll call everyone or they'll announce over the radio. There's some kind of system where they can inform all the people living in the country. They give them adequate notice so that they can escape. But what can we actually do against the tides of material nature or Maya? It's nothing. We only have to try to take shelter of Krishna, because Krishna is stronger than Maya. So Maam eva ye prapadyante. So if one takes shelter of me, Krishna says, one can overcome. So easier said than done. So we have to still learn to take shelter of Krishna, and this can be done by hearing. So hearing is a very simple process in one sense. Hearing is just, we just have to hear, you know. But initially that also is very difficult, hearing or reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Of course, we have the 6 urges: Vacha Vegam, Manasa Vegam, Krodha Vegam, Jiva Udara Pasta Vegam. So, and we are young, you know, we are in our 20s, 30s, our senses are raging. So my spiritual master says, when you are 21 or 22, you are like a walking, blazing, you are a walking volcano, you know. You are about to erupt at any moment. And from there, it's a gradual decline. So, we have these senses and these pushings, you know, of the body. So, even this becomes very difficult. But if we somehow, you know, try to stick to this in the association of devotees, take shelter of the association of devotees, then maybe you have a chance. And as Prabhupada says on the, even Vyasadeva in his meditation, when Vyasadeva was meditating in, I think it was Bhadrikashram, or yeah, there he was meditating there in his ashram, and in his vision he saw the absolute truth. And he saw all the energies. He saw the internal energy, the external energy, under the control of the absolute and truth. And he saw the living entities and the cause of bewilderment, because they were covered over by this material energy. And he also saw the remedy. So the remedy was that these miseries are actually superfluous to the living entity, and they can be mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. Or if people simply pay heed to the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's why Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. So people can read the Srimad Bhagavatam, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, and in that way they can re-establish their original constitutional position. And this was Srila Prabhupada's prayer also. On the Jaladuta in Bhagavat Markine, he said, you know, how will these people, he was going to America, and people are situated in the modes of passion and ignorance, what hope is there for them to come out of Maya? But he said, by the will of Krishna they are covered over, and by the will of Krishna they can come out of Maya. So if they simply listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam, to the Bhagavad Gita, they can actually overcome the influence of Maya. And we have seen that, how that has worked. It is working in our case, at least to some degree. So, and now, and we have this wonderful opportunity to give this Krishna consciousness to others, and especially Srila Prabhupada's book marathon is coming. And Anirudh Prabhu has okayed it that we can start on the 22nd of November and we can go till the end of December, because in between we have a couple of caterings, so some of the brahmacharis especially will be, some of us will be busy with that. So we have over a month to participate in this wonderful opportunity of giving the Srimad Bhagavatam to others, what Srila Vyasadeva compiled, to become an instrument in giving this to others. And in this activity, there's actually no loss or diminution, even if we do one book or we don't do any book. Because simply going out there, we are recognized by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Simply, you know, walking out of the temple and trying to distribute a book, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will see our efforts and, you know, and reward us for that. So this is a, and Srila Prabhupada books were actually very, very dear to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada would judge the success of a preaching by seeing how many books are distributed. Because, you know, we can give a lecture after, what will your 3 minutes of lecture do? They'll go home and they'll forget. But if they have a book, they read, they'll read again, they'll friends will read, and they'll remember something, they'll get some benefit. So, of course, all our preachings are, all the different kinds of preaching we do are centered around book distribution. This whole movement is about book distribution. And Srila Prabhupada gave the analogy of a train. He gave the analogy of the Indian railways. He said that the wheels of the carriage should be moving forward. So, especially in Indian railways, they are overstaffed. So they have, you know, they have too much staff. But the whole purpose of the staff, you know, there's some people are maintaining the tracks, some are doing the admin, different kinds of work are there to make sure that the train is moving forward. So similarly in ISKCON there's so many services, but the end result is that the books have to be going out. So the wheels of the carriage have to be moving forward. So we have this wonderful opportunity to, and all these different preachings are about book distribution, whether it is law preaching or university preaching. Maybe we don't sell them, we don't give them the book directly, we don't push it down their throat, but whole idea is to cultivate a relationship and teach them these books. So like here we have Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav. That's also, you know, it's an anga of book distribution. So now we have this wonderful opportunity to direct this month to go out, you know, ourselves. And if we can try to cover our services, that's very nice. You know, pray to Gaur Nithai to cover our services so that we can go out as much as possible. And especially from the congregation side, if they can also go out, it's very nice. But you can help in many other ways also. So you can help out by covering the temple devotee services. So we need brahmanas, cooks, devotees to go to crossways. So there's lots of services available in the temple. And by doing that, you also get a share of the book distribution, yes. So, you know, some aartis can be covered, some different kinds of services can be covered. So, devotees can go out. And that way you also get a cut of the credit. You'll get a big cut. And we'll be having, we'll be having classes every Sunday on book distribution. Maybe we can decide a time. Maybe you have Bhakti Shastri at 10 o'clock. Maybe 9 o'clock we can have, straight after Bhagavatam. Or 9:30. So there we'll be doing different exercises and watching different videos and seminars and plan out a few things. Any questions? Yes, Madhuri.
What is your understanding that you just said, even if you go out and you do one book or you don't do any books, like sometimes very often I ask myself and I ask the deities trying to understand why, if Lord Chaitanya wants us so much to distribute many books, why won't he
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants Krishna consciousness to be given to everyone, but when we are going out, so why isn't he letting the books go out through us and give it to everyone? So you know, we should see that as for our own purification. Like my spiritual master, I've heard his tapes. He says that the first 2 years when he was going out on books, every day he was just doing one or two small books, you know, like Perfection of Yoga, Beyond Birth and Death. The whole day, 8, 9 hours, 10 hours, spending whole day, and end of day just few small books, some magazines, and you know, like that for 2 years. And he said he would actually cry, but because this activity was so dear to Srila Prabhupada, he would go out. And all the other devotees, they were, you know, the big guns, they were distributing Maharathis, they were distributing hundreds of books. So we should see that for our own purification. And you know, especially when we are preaching, doing book distribution, all your anarthas come right in your face. You can see that, you know, how attached you are to the result. If a book is not going on, it actually hurts, you know. Oh, 1 hour, you know. No book has gone out. You know, what's happening? Everybody is saying no. Maybe I should give it up. You know, maybe I should go to Gopal's, have some prasadam. Take a break. You know. Okay, maybe I'll go back to temple, and maybe I need to do some reading. My reading is down. So mind bears so many excuses. So we have to say that we are doing this for Srila Prabhupada. This activity is very dear to him. And you know, try not to be attached to the results. Whatever comes, you know, 100 books or 10 books or 1 book, whatever. Just do your best. You know, okay. In the morning, we might not be recognized by all the devotees saying Jai at 7 o'clock, but you know, Krishna is hearing us, course. That's enough. Any other questions? You want to say anything about books? Okay. Actually, Jaya Prabhu's already started his marathon because he's going to India this month. So he's already, you know, he's already started, so we have to catch up with him.